Good morning.
Good morning.
Are we all blessed to be here?
Amen.
We have a praise already this morning. I came in to grab a bulletin for my part, and they were all. Had to print more. God is working, isn't he?
Amen.
Prayers are being answered. Bear with me today because my good glasses broke this week. So I have, these are brand new glasses from last year, but the gentleman didn't measure them correctly, and I did not take them back to get them corrected, so bear with me, but we'll get through it. Do we have any announcements?
June the 5th is going to be our graduation Sunday for any of our high school graduates, and since we only have one this year, Miss Chelsea Smith, Tammy and Wilton's daughter. She can't believe all these children are
I know.
But we have a bag back here with Chelsea's name on it, so if you want to drop a card in there for well wishes and bless her for her future, please do.
Okay. Doesn't the Wolf family have an announcement, or are you going to save that for praise?
I was going to say that.
Okay. Lance?
Yeah, I just want to announce that we're going to start Bible study in June. The first, we're going to have it on consecutive Tuesday nights, and we're going to have it at 7 o'clock, it's going to be on the mysteries of Genesis. I think everyone will learn a lot if they come. The video that we're going to show is only about 20 minutes long, so we're not talking about keeping you very long. Probably 40 minutes at that, so that everyone can get home before dark. We're reaching the age where we should be home before dark.
Okay, and just for my clarification, because I've been getting dates mixed up lately. The first Tuesday.
Should be the 7th.
Okay, the first Tuesday of the month.
And we're going to have your consecutive Tuesday after that.
And it's at 7?
7 o'clock here.
Okay. Just to let you all know, I think that I am kind of getting a little senile. Ralph and I were all dressed up yesterday, and he even shaved for the occasion. And we're sitting in the parking lot waiting, and we said, this can't be right, because we know Tammy Smith. She's here. She's already got everything lined up. So I'm texting people, and nobody answered. Calling people, nobody answered. And finally I thought, the grandmother will know. So I called Judy and I said, Judy, isn't Tammy's graduation party today? No, Deb, that's June. Again, I looked at the invitation the day before. I looked at the invitation, did not have my glasses on, and only picked up the bottom line where it said respond by. So, any other announcements? Okay. Let's just quiet our hearts and minds and listen to the prelude and give thoughts on Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jared. Before I start the call to worship this morning, and again, I don't want to take any time away from you, Pastor Sam, but as I was reading over the scriptures that he picked, especially in the call to worship, it just jumped out at me because one of my readings for this morning had about the same text. And it talks about the word equity jumped out at me. Now, I know all of you have heard about equity in this day and age. And its meaning, it's a little bit different meaning now than what it was in the Lord's time. And let's remember that he is the author of equity, justice, righteousness, truth. So as I was reading, I kind of looked up, what does, in 9:8 it says he rules the world in righteousness and judges the people with equity. And I got to thinking, you know, maybe not everybody in the congregation realizes what equity means according to God. Equity originally meant justice, both in the sense of fairness. We all heard of a fair playing field, right? And the sense of uprightness. This is the way God deals with people. He deals with them fairly and according to a standard, and that's his standard. Not the world's standard, not our standard, but his standard. So when you hear of equity in the news and you get the grasp of what it means today, think back on God's way and what it meant to him. Okay. Call to worship, Brother Sam has Psalm 67, 1 through 4. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Shalom, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Shalom. I guess I'm saying that right. Quite sure. Okay, maybe now may we sing joyfully to him in praise. For those that can, please stand, and we will do hymn number 328.
Thank you.
don't get you going this morning. Okay, now time to share joys and concerns, and we're going to let the Wolf family have the first announcement.
We're just very thankful. We were blessed with a new grandson, our third one, but our first one for our son that we didn't think we'd ever see. So we're very happy and blessed that he's healthy, all except a broken collarbone. He's good to go. So it's just the healing process, but everything's well.
They can't have any gray hair yet.
I'm not going to
stay in town in church.
Any other joys while we're on joys? Well, I don't have joy, but I do pray because I was sick.
It's a joy to see you here finally.
Believe me, I'm glad to be here too. I thank everybody for the prayers and the cards and the phone calls because it was a struggle, but I mean,
Bob?
Just want to remember the Putnam family with the loss of Luke and the funeral being here yesterday, and remember them. He was such a young man at 41, and kind of brings back memories. But also the Joni Horman funeral that was here this past Wednesday. Just a burial, not inside here, but just a burial down here. And he'll be missed because each and every one of us are special, and we just love you all. And we're just grateful to you. For Brother Sam and Jackie back here for their graciousness of being able to supply a wonderful time together and being able to minister to us. We just ask God blessings upon you.
Yes. Frank?
Well, what I was going to do is say we're blessed to have Brother Sam and Jack and Sister Jackie with us.
That's it.
My sister Irene.
It's good to see Danny back here too.
Yeah, they had all three boys in church today.
Yes, I see. I didn't see that. Way to go. All right.
And, me, surgery, day two, Thursday.
Okay.
We're blessed to have Caleb with us this morning again also.
Just a joy. 38 people here today. That's rewarding. We just thank you all
praise
for coming.
Praise the Lord.
Please make it possible every week. We just love seeing you, you know.
Praise the Lord.
And the Lord just loves having you here, believe me.
I see a hand out there.
We have a joy. Elijah will be coming back to the United States.
Amen. Wow. Praise the Lord. I got a text yesterday evening. Someone that was very upset, and their dear friend was in the hospital, and they were transferring her to John Hopkins. Brenda Wassler, I don't know if any of you may know her, but she is at Hopkins, and she has COVID, but that's not the main reason they transported her. She has a blood clot in the brain. So it's very serious, and this morning, it was my daughter-in-law, Carrie Ann, gave me an update, and she was crying, and she said, please pray for Brenda, and I said, Carrie Ann, I am praying for Brenda, but you need to trust in the Lord, and the main thing is we know that Brenda gave her life to Christ a long time ago, so she's covered. I said, but we will pray, and I gave her some scripture to read to comfort her, but let's keep Brenda Wassler and her family in prayers. I'm not familiar. I know she has a son and a daughter that's older and married and grandchildren. So let's just pray for that family. Anyone else?
Just one more joy. Our neighbors, Joey and Paige and the family, come home from their 1 week vacation in Florida yesterday. And boy, the hill was kind of lonely without them around and seeing the nice little children run around the yard. And so.
It was a joy just to open my curtain this morning and see little Aiden out there with his tractor going through the yard, and Charlie the hunting hound was so happy because Charlie was really lonely this weekend down. She was running around all over, so it's a joy. Brad?
I got a call this week from a dear friend. Her husband's got cancer real bad. His name's Woody.
Woody? Okay.
Continue Ricky and Alan and Debbie on the prayer list.
Anyone else? Okay, let's come before the Lord how you feel comfortable, if it's sitting in your seat, if it's kneeling, however, but let's just keep our hearts and minds centered on the Lord as we pray. Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you once again to lift you up, to give you praise, to give you honor, to worship you, Father, for all that you are and all that you do. Father, you know before we even speak, the list is long today. But Father, we know that you are not like human ears. You hear all and you remember all. So Father, I just want to lift up to you those this day. First, we'll start with Joyce, Father, to give you thanks and praise. We give you thanks that we're going to have Bible study once again. And we ask that you bless Ron and Nancy, who have taken that on. We thank you for new life, Father, in a world that doesn't really recognize new life as much as it should. We just thank you and praise you for little Weston. Father, you heal his collarbone. You give Chad and the family the patience and whatever's needed with a newborn, because I know it's a big adjustment. Father, you just bless that family. Father, we think of what joy of seeing Frances back here. She has been sick for many weeks, Father, and we just are so appreciative to see her smile. And we thank you for Cindy and Russell sitting back there. We have missed their smiles as well. And Lord, we surely thank you for those three young men sitting on the back pew. They are a blessing. For when I look at them, I don't only see my loved ones, but I see the next generation of this church, Father. I just ask that you bless their week as they go through. Father, we thank you for those that were on vacation and came back home safely. Your hand is above and around and over everything that goes on. Father, now we just want to lift up to you those that are mourning the loss of loved ones this week. We think of the Putnam family and the loss of Lucas, who is a son, a brother, a father. Father, that will be a big void, Father, but we just ask that you would be in the midst of that family and help bring comfort and peace. We think of the John Harmon family. Oh, to see a son get up and speak about Dad. It brought tears to my eyes, Father, and I just ask that you would put your loving arms around Judy and the family and just give them comfort, give them guidance, and may the memories flood their souls so that they don't miss John as much as they could miss him, Father. Father, we think of Brother Sam and Sister Jackie with their presence today. Oh, I can't wait to hear the word. So, Father, we just thank you for blessing them and for Brother Sam coming and blessing us. Father, we think of Irene, who is in recovery stage. We just ask that you would strengthen her and just be with the family and let them rally around her and take care of her. Father, we think of Danny, who's going to have a second surgery. Father, we just ask that you guide the surgeon's hands and that you bring healing. Father, we think of Elijah, who's soon to return. Oh, what a joy that will be when he comes and the loved ones can gather around him. Father, we think of Brenda, who's in John Hopkins. Father, we know all are worried and concerned and just stressed, Father. So we just ask that you would put your hand upon them, calm them. Just let them have an inner peace. And Father, guide the doctors and the staff in Brenda's care so that she makes a complete recovery and can once again come home. Father, we think of Brad's friend, Woody. We just ask that you intervene in that situation. And we just pray for his wife, who will be the caregiver for that. It is a true struggle, Father. We just ask that you strengthen her and fill her with understanding in that undertaking. Father, we just want to lift up Alan and Deb and Rick and Healy and Bob and Ralph. There's so many others, the list could go on and on. And Father, we just put their care into your hands. Father, lastly, before we end here, I would just like to say a prayer over the church directory. Father, I just ask that each one in that directory, that you would put a burning desire into their hearts, that this desire would be so strong that it would turn them back towards the little church on the hill, your church, that they would come and join us once again, that they would give you glory, honor, and praise that you deserve, and that they would serve you, Father. Yes, serve you. That's a big need. Father, now we go through this directory and we see the families represented that have children. Father, we ask that you would open the eyes and the hearts of the parents in this directory, that you would put a need on their heart to know that their children need a strong, firm foundation in you, Lord. For when we send those children out in the world to rub elbows, they're going to need to know the truth. They're going to need to know good from evil. They're going to need to know right from wrong so that they're not swayed off the path, Father. So, Father, I just lift this directory up to you today, Father, each and every family, each and every person in it. May they find you, Father. May they find their way back to the church on the hill. Father, I ask that you have your way in this old hurting world. Father, you turn what is meant for evil in this world to good. Father, you bring back peace and love and just brotherly love in this country and in this world. Bind Satan and his evil followers so that we can once again enjoy the goodness that your world has to offer us. Now we join our hearts and our minds and our prayers in that perfect prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, now we get to use our voices again. Let's stand and join in if you can. Hymn number 172. Jerry, I see the last hymn. Praise the Lord. 323, my favorite.
Inside our bright blue dawn.
Brother Sam's sermon title for today is The Impact of the Bible on a Church. The scripture reading comes out of Acts 17, verses 10 through 12. Then the brethren immediately went to Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. That's for us, brothers and sisters. Search the scripture daily. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, but prominent women and men as well as men. Amen. Let's give our undivided attention to Brother Sam. I know you have a message that we can relate to. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Debbie. It's always good to be on the ridge on Sunday morning with good weather. We've had our share of weather for a month. We won't talk about it, but it's good to be here today and to share the word of God. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we give thanks that our heart can be right with you through the word of God. Thank you for the church here and for those that attend. May our hearts be attuned to your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're looking at the impact of the Bible on a church. Could be the impact of a Bible on an individual. Impact of a Bible on a society. Impact of a Bible on a nation. I won't do it. Well, I'm working on the sermon. What happens when you don't have a Bible? When you take the Bible out of a society? You know all about that. Your heads are going north and south on that. You know what's happening. So the text today here is Paul and Silas on a missionary journey. They were in Thessalonica. We have two books written in Thessalonica called 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. So then they went over to this place called Berea. That would be located in central Greece, north of Athens, in that particular area. It goes way back to Paul when he received the Macedonian vision. Remember, the man said, come over and help us. This is one of the places where they were. So we want to see what the Bible says about these people. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. What makes a church noble? Superiority of believers. The word noble here, or fair-minded, means a good family, good blood. We'd say red blood Americans. We'd say nobility, royalty. From a human standpoint, when you think of royalty today on earth, you probably think of the Queen of England. She dresses nicely. I can't imagine the Queen of England getting on Twitter. I can't imagine her getting in the primary election here in Maryland. It's going to heat up. I mean, they've been having a bonfire north of the Mason-Dixon line. We're probably going to have one here in Maryland between here and, the end of June. They keep changing the map so much, I don't even know which election district I'm in.
Amen.
We used to be with Tacoma Park. I think we might be in with Hagerstown now, so they can't figure out. But can you imagine her getting in there and saying things and doing it? It would be beneath her dignity. I have a 2000 Astro van, red Astro van. I enjoy driving it more than Malibu. First of all, a little higher, I can see where I'm going a little better. But I enjoy driving my 2000 Astro van. Can you picture the Queen of England coming to Thurmont and driving my 2000 Astro van around Thurmont? See, this old lady driving down the road. Who's that? Oh, that's the Queen of England. With me, it's fine. If you think that is something, can you imagine her driving Frank's pickup truck? Now, there's nothing wrong with our pickup truck and our van for us, but for her, you expect a little bit different life. What this is saying here, as Christians, We live by a different standard. We live by the Word of God. Now, in the world, it's called a double standard, which is true, because the world doesn't have the Bible standard. We talked about our light shining. Your light is shining differently than the world. So as believers, we live differently. We don't do a lot of things the world would do. Now, there are things today that might be all right. But like remember this thought, when in doubt, leave it out. The food in the refrigerator that you're not sure about it, there's two ways you can be sure. Eat it and get sick, or throw it out. I think throwing out would be better. So maybe when we get to heaven, I'll be flying out. I could have so much more fun. But I love walking with Jesus. The world can't give friendship like Jesus. So these people were different. A church is going to be different. It was a Bible church. Amen. Preaching the Word of God. We had an excellent Sunday school class with Dr. David Jeremiah. Now I know a little bit about David Jeremiah. His father was president of Cedarville University in Cedarville, Ohio. Our second oldest granddaughter graduated from there. So I'm aware we get out there in that part of Ohio. The David Jeremiah influence is felt in that college. And that's still training people in the Word of God. So what he did and his father did is still working out there in Ohio. But it makes a difference whether a church is just a social club. I mean, we enjoy being with one another here, and I enjoy your fellowship. But it's more than that. It's got to be the Word of God. Amen. My first church, I've never said it publicly, but in the bottom of my heart, there should have been good old boys Baptist church. But they didn't take a stand on the Word like they should. Until I got there and stood with them for a little bit, they saw, okay, the Bible's better, so... today it's a great church that loves the Lord. So we're different. One of the songs we sing, I'm a child of the King. That's all right? Mm-hmm. You sing that folks here? I'm a child of the King. So what do you call a child of the King? You call the boy prince, right? You call the woman princess. So I go with Brother Frank, but I couldn't call him Prince Frank. Sister Pat or Princess Pat, whichever way you want to go. But there's something about us. I feel as a Christian, some things are beneath my Christian dignity. If you are a Christian and you let me know it, the world will hold you to a higher standard. What frightened me when I graduated from high school and went to the Frederick News Post, I let me know in the very beginning I was a Christian. They held me to a higher standard than I was living. But I'm glad they did. So we as Christians are different. We go different places. We think differently. With what David Jeremiah said about sin. Probably get in trouble. Which classroom at Catoctin High School could we show that tomorrow? They throw us out of there. You were right-wing extremists. Talking about sin, but the Bible does. So we are different. Now I won't go around with a halo and say, well, I'm different, but we're different in our hearts because we know the Lord. But there's a reason why. Why would this church be different than another church? Aren't all churches the same? You'd be surprised today how many churches never get to the Bible. When you go to school, you don't go to school to study. I didn't want to do it, but I should have counted. How many Bible verses did David Jeremiah have this morning in that video that we were watching? Dozens and dozens of Bible verses, right? So it made that sermon different. He was quoting the Bible. So the first thing we find is the study of scriptures. It says these were more noble than the Thessalonica in that they receive the word with all readiness of mind. The word receive means to receive by deliberate and ready reception of what is offered. They expected something. when you go to a restaurant, you expect what? Beautiful lights. Good food. You go to a restaurant, I thought we went there to see how the tables are set. Mountain Gate did some renovation recently. She'll go to Mountain Gate to see how the renovation came along. Some of your taste buds are already kicked in. We haven't even left the service here yet. You go to a restaurant, you expect to eat sometime. You go to a church, you expect to hear the Bible. That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what it is. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. There have been times, and you probably have done that, when you quote the Bible, someone will say, well, that's your interpretation. That's your word. Hello? When Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and light, no man comes to the Father but by me, how many interpretations do you want to get? I didn't say it. Jesus said it. So it means that we receive the Bible as God's word.
Amen.
Then it says readiness of mind. It means that mental reception. You're expecting it. There are a lot of things we expect. I go to a gas station. I expect to fill up. I hope not go broke. No, I expect that if I go in a hardware store, the only time I window shop is I'm looking for a window. My wife loves the window shop, and I don't walk in with her watching the windows. But when I go to the store, I go in. I'm like a laser. I go in, get it, and get out. If I want to take a hike, I go in the park, not in the store. But when we come to church, you come with the idea, we're going to get in the Bible, we're going to get in the Word, and the Bible is going to be taught.
Amen.
1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. As newborn babes, this grandchild you have now, starts crying. Take him out of the playground. Probably not going to work. Same melody to him. When that baby's hungry, there's only one thing you can do, what? Feed him. And isn't it amazing that a baby's cry at 3 a.m. is louder than it is at 3 p.m.? I don't know why that is. That's the way it goes. But when they're hungry, you got to feed them. Wouldn't it be something in churches? If the minister didn't preach the word, we say, hold on here now. Maybe Bob, somebody, give him a check, but you don't sign your name to it. You don't endorse it until he preaches and say, well, I'm going to sign my name to this check unless you preach it. Preach the word. We go to church to hear God. Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Taste and see. Or sometimes we taste this. Oh, yes, it tastes good. The Bible's not something to be afraid of. It's something you want to desire. But note, so also, they wanted the Bible. They wanted to know, what does the Bible have to say? But then the next one is, it says, they search the scriptures daily. That word search is an interesting word. It means to probe carefully. Search means see what it actually says. But in the original days, it had a legal terminology. It meant a judge listening to the evidence in order to render a correct decision. When I was a newspaper reporter for the Frederick Post out of high school, I covered Frederick City Police, Frederick City Fire, Frederick County Fire Companies, Maryland State Police, and Tuesday and Thursday night I covered Magistrate Court for the Frederick Post. So when the cases would be tried, I'm the one that wrote down and put in the paper what the decision was. So I had to be 100% accurate, right? Mm-hmm. If the person is declared innocent, I better not put guilty, because you know the lawsuits and so forth. So I had to really pay attention and get it right every time. Mm-hmm. But in that period of time, I began to know the judges. We had three judges that rotated back and forth. And so I began to think as a judge, as the trial was going on, and the questions the judge would ask, and things were going on, I think he's going to get a year in the penitentiary. When it's going, I could see how the judge was thinking. And other times I think, well, I think that case is not going to make it. I think he'll get off. And so the judge is evaluating everything and determining what the correct decision would be. And one of the things in those days, and it's true now, is arrogance. Arrogance was not tolerated in the court system in those days. I don't know if it is now. But if someone came in and they're a hot shot and they're tough and they're going to be this and that, they're going to get a year in Maryland penitentiary. You guarantee that. And there's a policeman there going to take them over there. That door goes to the prison. This door goes outside. So you got to be careful. That judge is listening to everything that's being said. So we're reading in the scriptures. My wife and I read through the Bible. I read through the Bible every year. Now, I use a different translation every year. I've used the Geneva Bible, 1580 Geneva Bible. It's slow reading for a while until I get used to the English language in the 1500s. And then I'll read something modern. The last 3 years, reading through the Bible, with the craziness in America, it's been amazing what goes on. I'm not going to spend the time, but last year, just a few weeks before this, we're reading through the book of Job. You know what happened last year? We got COVID reading the book of Job. We got to get through this. I got to get out of here. Well, I'm going to get over to the book of Psalms. I pulled in the garage too fast and ran in the front end, damaged the end of my car. So we got to get through this book of Job. But it made me appreciate some things, because no, I didn't have Job's comforters like he did. Here's Job having all these things. They call him a hypocrite, a liar, and a sinner. And it was Satan that did it. So you learn things from the Bible. The Bible is so interesting to read it all the time. But it does say they search the scriptures daily. As best I can do here this morning, and as fast as I can talk, I can't give enough to you for a week. There's no restaurant you're going to go to today. And you're going to eat so much, you're not going to eat again until next Sunday. Now maybe this evening you'll say that. Well, I know you well enough to know by tomorrow afternoon this time you'll begin to think about eating again. So we need to be in the Bible continuously. I would encourage you to be reading the Bible and maybe even taking notes with David Jeremiah. Look up those verses that we had today. So it means you keep searching the scriptures continually. Now the reasons why we do the scriptures, they tell us about Jesus. We have a lot of people today that talk about in search of Jesus. There's been books written, searching for Jesus. Okay? If you're going to search for Jesus, where are you going to begin your search? How about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? If you're going to do a research on George Washington, where would be a good place to start? Mount Vernon? If you're going to study George Washington, would you go to Montana? Nothing wrong with Montana, but you probably wouldn't start there. So if we're going to study about Jesus, we look in the Bible. What does the Bible say about Jesus? He even said, search the scriptures, for them you think you have eternal life, and they that testify of me. So there's so many things in the Bible so interesting about Christ. After Jesus arose from the dead, he was on that road to Emmaus. Remember those two guys that walked along and they were so sad? because they thought Jesus was going to be the one to deliver them, and they heard about him being crucified, and now the grave is empty. We're saying, hallelujah! But there's no way, he's missing. And he's walking right there alongside of them. It says he opened the scriptures and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself. If I could live a history event, wouldn't it be something if you could be kind of walking about 3 feet behind and hearing what Jesus was saying? Oh, this is what Isaiah meant. This is what it means a virgin shall conceive. This is what it means salvation. And he explained all those things about himself. Then we have in Acts chapter 1, the book of Acts, that we're looking at here. It says, the former treatise, that's the Gospel of Luke, I wrote of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until he was taken up. It's so interesting to study the Bible and what it says about Christ compared to what people say today. We believe he is a virgin, born, Son of God, went to the cross, died for our sins, shed his blood, was buried, Roman soldiers guarding, and 3 days later he arose again. Amen. On the earth for 40 days, and ascension day is coming up soon. He went to heaven, and as they were, it says, why are you gazing into heaven? When he went up into heaven, I used to do that, my wife and I would do that, when our daughter and Jenny lived in Dallas, Texas. And they would fly in to BWI, and when they would go home, we would get where we could see how the planes were taking off, and how the plane goes further and further and further. You keep saying, how long can I see it? How long can I see it? No, I don't see it. Now I see it. No, no. Say, why are you doing that? This same Jesus who was taken up to heaven shall so come in like manner as you see him go. And in the book of Revelation, Jesus says, behold, I come quickly. And John said, even so come, Lord Jesus. I think one of the nicest things, we get a phone call once in a while from our daughter from Pennsylvania. We're on our way down to Maryland. Yes! Jesus is on his way. Yes! The Bible tells us about Christ. But then we are commanded to search the scriptures. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study the scripture. Search the scriptures. I've been in the ministry 60 years. Finished up first 60. I'm working out on the second 60. Probably not make the whole way, but it's good to keep going. But it's amazing of how much more I learn. I'm just telling you how I do it. All my sermons are written, and I have all my notes. And sometimes they go back, and I preach the same passage again, and I think, man, why didn't I see that the first time? What was I thinking about? And so it never gets dull learning the Bible. You learn more and more all the time. And when I was in college, I thought I knew the Bible. So I went down there, and they began to say things that I didn't know. Search. I know you can know the Greek and Hebrew too, but in English there's so much to know and in the Bible, and what encouragement it is to us. The scripture was uniquely given by God. The battle about, why is there such a battle about the Bible? He tells us in 2 Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. God had this book written. And people today are saying that, well, Moses couldn't have written this. But the children of Israel read it. See, what the problem today is, they're taking the books of the Bible, we would say the prophecy books, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and so forth, and they say they were history written in a prophetic note, like someone is predicting that Biden was going to win the election. And they dated 1800, but it was written last week, so it's not prophecy. God has a sense of humor. What happened is they discovered these Dead Sea Scrolls that were written about 300 BC, dated. You know how difficult it is to copy something that hasn't been written yet? We believe the books of the Bible were written earlier, and then when Isaiah said his prophecy, it was prophecy. And the critics, it's called higher criticism, is trying to destroy the Bible. Then what hope do you have? Where are you going to go if you destroy the book? And so I see people trying to rewrite the Bible, try to destroy the Bible, but it came from God. It is God breathed. So we're commanded to do it and search because God gave it to it. It's powerful for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction. How should we live? You get yourself in a situation, you ever think, what does the Bible say about that? You go in there it is. Now, Scripture will impact and change our lives. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Somebody said it this way. The Bible will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from the Bible.
Amen.
My time in counseling, from time to time, when people maybe church attendance, and they're having a spiritual problem, I began to ask them a few questions. What part of the Bible are you reading now? What are you studying? I mean, I believe the Bible because of the Word of God. I don't believe everything in the Frederick Post. I believe everything in the Bible. I'm a former reporter, so I can say that I don't believe everything I read on television, but I read what the Bible says. And the Bible tells us that we are responsible. It will change our lives. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to your word? Now it says we are responsible to obey the Bible. Why should we read this? Did you know that God wants us to do what this book says? When I get something, there's a new, generally with it, an instruction book. And sometimes it will say, there's no repairable part inside. Do not open. Contract cancel if you take a, well, just a small screwdriver. Or, you know, maybe you can just try one of these. No, you can't do that. This is an instruction book. Do you know that God wants us to obey the Bible? We're going to be responsible to obey the Bible. It says in Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate day and night that you may observe to do according to it. Read the instructions. All right? Am I the only husband whose wife says, have you read the instructions? Why would I read the instructions? I haven't damaged it that much yet. You know what God is saying? Read the instructions. Read what the Bible says. How to get along. How to live. How to have hope. We read the Word of God to obey it. And then parents are responsible to teach the Scripture. Parents are responsible for education. The public school is still the parents' responsibility. You don't believe that? Ask the man in Virginia who lost the governor's race. And the battle in Virginia is coming north of the Mason-Dixon line, north of the Potomac River, from Maryland, too. There'll be an issue coming up soon in Maryland. Who's responsible for teaching the students? Ask people in Leesburg, Virginia. Ask the school board. It is our responsibility. Now, we may not teach them all these subjects, but we're responsible to see what's being taught. And we're responsible to teach the Word of God.
Amen.
Deuteronomy says, these words which I command you, you shall teach diligently. Don't you feel sorry today for children growing up, little kids, maybe in kindergarten? They've never heard the name of Jesus from a mother or father. From my background, it seems foreign. It seems heathen. If I look back at my education, the best I can figure out, my mother taught me the Bible stories. And my dad explained the Bible stories. Like growing up on a farm, of course, we had time together. I realized if Dad's working somewhere else, but my dad and I spent a lot of time together, and I'd say, Dad, Mom was reading about thus and so, and I grew up with that explanation of the Bible in home with my parents. Went to Frederick County Public Schools, Lewis Sound, Elm Street, Frederick High School. I say this, my 12 years in public school in Frederick County, no one ever contradicted the Bible. I'm not saying they were all Bible people, but no one ever said they don't believe the Bible. In fact, in Frederick High School, we had prayer and Bible reading and devotions on the PA system every morning.
Amen.
And nobody ever got shot. Even though most of the pickup trucks had shotguns in them, go hunting after school. What's happened? We've taken the Bible out of our society. It says, train these people. It says, you should talk about it in your house. When you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, bind them on your hand. Put them as frontlets between your eyes. Our children are growing up, and grandchildren too. When they ask a question, they get an answer. I'm telling you this, when young people ask you a question, somebody's going to answer it. If you tell them, you're too young to know about that, somebody's going to tell them. So I'd rather tell them the truth of the Word of God. So it begins in the home and it spreads throughout our society. Now, at the end of the verse, it says, whether those things were so. Even now, occasionally once in a while, I'll read through the Bible and I'll go back and say, wait a minute, is this the same Bible I've been reading? I didn't see that last year. I realize with COVID and all this happening, some things are a little more relevant today, but it's in the Word of God. And so, whether those things were so, yes, that's what the Bible actually says. I guess about the only time I hear a liberal preach would be at a sermon at a funeral. Ever go to a funeral and the minister never talks about the Bible, never talks about the gospel, never talks about Jesus? I assume if a minister doesn't talk about Jesus, he must not know it as well as we do. Can you imagine a grandparent saying, oh, I don't talk about my grandkids on Sunday? It doesn't work. You talk about your grandkids all the time. Well, the people even ask you to talk about it, let alone say, talk about it. We want to talk about Jesus because we know him. We have a relationship. And we know these things are true. 1 Thessalonians says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Put it to a test. Follow the Word of God. Finally, in verse 12, it says, therefore, many of them believe. Why don't people believe the Bible today? They don't preach it. We don't talk about it. If we preach the Bible, people are going to believe. And our songs, Is Your Heart Right with God? Comes from the book. Comes from the Bible. So all these things dovetail together. Salvation of believers. John says this, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life through his name. My purpose today is not to entertain you. My purpose is to tell you, Jesus is the Savior. If you don't know him as your Savior, you can ask him to come into your life, confess your sin to him, receive him as your Savior, and you have eternal life. The Bible is here for us to follow, obey, and do his will. May we be noble Christians because we have the Word of God in our hearts. Let's bow in prayer.
Amen.
Father, we give thanks for the church here at Rocky Ridge, and thank you for the services thus far and the video in the earlier Sunday school. We pray you bless these dear folks with the Word of God in their hearts for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Let's stand and sing hymn number 323.
Yeah. now, the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit and your soul and your body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is in his name we pray.